You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. A few weeks ago, I spoke to Magnus Haystack, founder of Brenthurst Wealth, and he had just concluded attending a conference in London, which was hosted by 91, the asset management company. And he said to me during the interview that ensued, he said, South Africa was mentioned only once during that whole conference. Now he's been to the BizNews conference in South Africa, hosted by Alex Hogg's organization, and it was all about South Africa. So Magnus is with me now. And Magnus, it must have been mentioned a few more times, South Africa, because you were looking at the ANC and its failed policies and the danger to South Africa. How did it go?
You know, it was a fantastic conference. It was now the second of what is called the BizNews Investment Conference. So the focus was on investments. But we did have, of course, politics runs throughout everything we do in South Africa. And we had a surprise guest speaker in Andre de Ruyter from Eskom. He's back in the country, and he gave his views on Eskom and how the government handled the whole Eskom thing. And we had people like Dr. Frans Cronier giving his views on South Africa. And that was very interesting what he said. You know, he's a scenario planner and an analyst, a very astute one. And he talks about a balkanization of South Africa if things carry on the way it goes on. In other words, SA breaks up into, not in a legalistic way, but in practical terms, you'll have Joburg operating on its own and Durban or doing their own thing, and then the Western Cape doing their thing. But there's a lot of focus on investments and into or out of South Africa. And that was quite dramatic, the differences of opinion. On the one hand, you had someone like Rob Herseff, who's made a name for himself as a very, very hefty critic of the ANC.
Yes.
Saying that actually the ANC has created a situation where South Africa north of the Western Cape is uninvestable. Land, commercial property, and he went on and on and on. And the other hand, you had fund managers like Piet Viljoen, who was saying, and I think he was shared in that by Walter Ehlert, saying the JSC is extremely cheap and a fantastic opportunity. And then you had the Bitcoin guys. Of course, every year there's the Bitcoin guys, just telling everybody how wonderful Bitcoin is. So it was stimulating. You don't agree with everything. I was given the task to actually open the conference. I wasn't going to take a position, but I made a comment, and I built my little talk about the fact that high net worth South Africans can, since 2015, take significant amounts of money offshore every year. You know, up to 11 rand per person per year, which means wealthy families could take out 22 million per year.
Yeah.
I said it was a good thing in many respects, because a lot of my clients have told me the fact that they were able to create an offshore portfolio out of South Africa totally legally within the tax net kind of assured them that there was no need to immigrate, because by doing that, first of all, I diversified from the South African stock market, which hasn't been doing well until quite recently. Secondly, the money is already outside of the foreign exchange net. So once it's out of SA, it's out of SA. And that actually said leads to the situation where they're very comfortable to remain in South Africa until the end of their days, which was interesting. And we had a debate about immigration and not immigration. And I said, it's not the older people immigrating. It's the younger kids. The kids with no assets, they immigrating because they still want to go and build a career somewhere else. But the people who've got sufficient money, whether it's 50 million or 100 million, are saying, I've planned for the family. I've taken out money. When I pass away, that money does not come back to South Africa. So in a very strange way, the decision 10 years ago by the ANC to allow more money to be exported has actually benefited South Africa And it kind of made people quite more relaxed about staying in South Africa.
But the young people are still leaving, if that's... I mean, it's a broad statement, and you've got to get statistics to back it up. But that changes the demography of a country. I mean, it changes the population pyramid, rather. And so all the young people are going, you've got a lot of older people that have got lots of money, but eventually they die. And where does that money go? Well, I don't know. Where does it go? It goes to the people overseas already.
Well, that's my point. The older people do die, but they're here in South Africa with their communities, yeah, their friends, their families. They don't have to go and immigrate, you know, just to get some capital out of the country. Yes, the youngsters are immigrating, and over the last 30 years or so, almost 1 million people have officially immigrated, and that's well documented. I was reading Tony Leon's book, in fact, this morning, where he discussed this. And he actually said what you're saying. The youngsters are leaving. They're taking skills with them. They may or may not come back to South Africa. But the fact is, as a parent or a grandparent, you can say, if Johnny or Susie doesn't want to come back to South Africa, they have a nest egg already outside of the country, which is, yes, the point I was trying to make.
Oh, and you made it well, because I mean, every week I speak to one of your colleagues at Brentos, and we talk about diversification, and we talk about money overseas, and we talk about, you know, how many clients you've got, because that's confidential, but it's a thriving business, and people want to know how to diversify geographically. And this has been the case not just for the last few weeks, but for many years, ever since I've been speaking to Brentos. But it does present an interesting argument from both sides about whether it is a good thing, because it makes the younger people feel more secure. They've got the money overseas already, so they can go overseas. They don't want to stay in South Africa for various reasons, some of them security reasons, some of them socioeconomic. So it must have been a fairly healthy debate on the day of the conference.
It was. You know, everybody has a different reason for doing what they do. And this applies to everything in life, who you marry, what job you do, how you invest or not invest, or what car you buy. Everybody's different. But it is very, very obvious that there was this pent-up demand by South Africans to externalize their assets.
Yeah.
They have been excluded from this for many, many decades. And once the gates were firmly opened, people took opportunity and they took some money offshore. And that's whether you like it or not. I mean, Dr. Stuart Theobald in the Business Day last week again was calling advisors like myself professional pessimists. And we, you know, the worst thing that ever hit the market. But I'm saying that's what people wanted. They want to diversify. They want to protect their wealth on a global scale. So whether you like that or not, it's got absolutely nothing to do with anybody. And Dr. Theobald, you know, writes a column in Business Day, but he doesn't mention that he lives in London, but his client is the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Now that stinks a bit, in my opinion. But anyway, so, you know, most of our people, about 70% of our people's money sits offshore. It's legal. It's part of the South African balance sheet. South Africa has actually become richer as a result of that. So this name throwing because, you know, you're seen as unpatriotic is absolutely ridiculous, because you don't understand the Johannesburg Stock Exchange is nothing but a company listed on the stock exchange alongside all the other companies. And more than 50% of the JSE is owned by foreign investors. So... The dividends flow overseas, and that applies to all the dual-listed companies on the JSE.
And the number of purely South African companies is every year falling in number. I mean, the latest one is Metrophile. Metrophile, I just saw a stock exchange.
Barlowrand, Metrophile, Kuro's coming off.
Yeah.
So the choice and the numbers are declining. And here's a very interesting angle that a lot of people don't understand. Implicit in this message of people like Theobald saying, oh, you must invest in the JSE and you must support the local asset managers. Well, let me tell you something. Alan Gray is owned by the Gray family via Bermuda, so it's an offshore company. 91 is listed in London. It's predominantly a listed company. Foord is owned by Dave Foord from Singapore. And I can go on and on and on and on. A very large number of our large asset managers are actually not South African companies. They're foreign companies. That's the irony.
Is it the truth that if and would Stuart Theobald tear his hair out and jump around if you said we don't need the JSE? We really don't need these companies. These companies are tied in, but quite honestly, in 20, 30 years' time, a lot of even the multinationals that are still listed on the JSE don't need to be listed on the JSE, and therefore won't be. Like Anglo Gold, look at a few of the companies that gold mines. Goldfields, for example, listed on the JSE, it's only got South Deep left. It's got
nothing else. And that applies to a lot of Anglo-American has gone.
Yeah.
And another point, how much capital has the JSE actually raised from the investing public in the last 10 to 15 years? Exceedingly little. It's just the money flowing around all the big companies. You look at most of the trades, most of the growth has come from about 20 companies making up 80% of the market cap, driven by Naspers process, which is about 20% of the market. So the JSE is extremely worried about our existence. As you say, there might not be the need for a JSE because you can invest all over the world on a computer, on your cell phone.
Precisely.
Why must it be domiciled in your hometown?
But we don't want to say that because we'll get into trouble as well. But somebody will be saying that. They're saying it now, and in 20, 30 years' time, it may be more of a reality. What was the attitude towards the ANC, Magnus? Because you mentioned Herzog having a full go at the political environment. Pete Viljoen not supporting the ANC, but saying the JSE is a bargain. There are certain companies, certain sectors that are a bargain. And I've heard that from other people that have made an awful lot of money when stocks have been this cheap. But let's start with politics. What about the Herzog angle?
Well, you know, it wasn't the Herzog angle that was... He's been saying that for a long time. And, you know, Alec actually invited Fikile Mbalula to come and speak at the conference. And, of course, the day before the conference, he pulled out. He then said, sorry, my dog ate my diary or something like that. It was so – I'm quite sure he wasn't going to come and address a predominantly white and wealthy audience because, you know, they would slaughter him with their questions. So he didn't even bother to pitch. He canceled the day before. The ANC was cut to ribbons by – speakers, guests from the floor, and judging from that audience, the ANC's got very, very little support in that community. And Frans Tournier was quite adamant. We'll see in the upcoming local elections how bad it is, and he says the ANC could be below 20% at the next general election. Now, but there's a danger that the ANC might do a deal with the MK and trying to save their bacon. So politics is going to be very important in the next couple of years.
It can change, and it can change quite quickly. Before you know it, the UK has changed. I mean, you got your reform. Okay, it's only got 4 or 5 seats, I think it is, in Parliament at the moment. But there's polls out that would say that it would be neck and neck between them and Labour as to who put somebody in number 10 Downing Street. And reform a few years ago wasn't even known. It was run by this lunatic from Southend in Essex, for goodness sake. And now he's standing next to Trump. And it can turn on a ticky, as you say, in South Africa. Yep. It really can.
So, yeah. It's not a boring country, and we'll see what happens.
We will. What's the message, Magnus? Coming out of there is obviously very different to the 91 conference. I got that message. What's the message from BizNews? We can moan on as much as we like about the ANC, but it's doing something. Helen Ziller is the mayor of Johannesburg. I don't know. Lots of... is there a vibrant movement for change which is manned by competent people? In other words, are people coming through the ranks that want to change South Africa, whether it be economically, fiscally, monetarily, or politically?
Well, I think, you know, the fact that Ramaphosa last week addressed 5,000 ANC councillors and lambasted them and said they must manage their cities and their towns like the DA does, I mean, that didn't go down well amongst the ANC. But he was forced to admit that the ANC has destroyed our little towns and our medium-sized towns and our cities. You cannot ignore it anymore. You cannot, you know, evade this question of the destruction, both financially and else, where, you know, it's just astonishing. He has to do something. There's signs of desperation in the ANC. Even the, let's call them the leftish news media, and I have been forced to admit the ANC are a bunch of corrupt thieves. The amount of plundering with these so-called tenderpreneurs takes your breath away. It's not only, it's astonishing the numbers that is being thrown around. It's not, people are not stealing 10 or 20 million rand anymore. It's now billions in the form of tenders. This is like the cancer in South African society, this tenders. Every council, every town, every SOE, you know, puts out these tenders, and then it's a question of who gets it and how much they can steal. And that is just like this festering pit in South African society. It is costing us trillions of rands. And, you know, the country is, you can see it.
Okay. So there was a good, healthy debate, but overall, not the most optimistic of conclusions to the conference, I would say, given what you've just said.
There were some people. Alec Hogg is optimistic. He says we're at a turning point and we might have reached bottom, but I tend to disagree. But we'll see. We'll see. Nice talking to you, Lindsay.
Nice talking to you too. I hope Alec wins the argument. That was Magnus Haystack from Brenthurst Wealth, and that was It's My Money.
It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.